know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is what I... Keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What the fucking
wrong with you? What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Welcome to We Hate Movies Live. I'm Andrew Jupin.
I am Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And for those of you who are unfamiliar, we are a bad movie podcast, and each week we talk about bad movies and do stupid jokes like the one we just did right now, involving a couple of Draculas and or the Three Screams. What we're going to do tonight is talk about a little film called Scream 3 from the year 2000. That seems so long ago.
It was
2000.
Well, you know, that's what it was. We thought we were doing Dracula 2000. 2000.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
That's the one with the two Draculas.
This is the one with the tired actors. Are you trying to take this off?
Yeah, it's coming off.
All right, undo your Velcro.
There it is. Wow, look how easy that comes off. Now I'm a human being and not a vampire anymore.
So this is the third film in the Wes Craven series of serial killer movies, which gets a little too self-reflexive on all the self-reflexivity that's been going on for two other movies.
Yeah, so basically what we open on Cotton Weary, stuck in traffic. LA traffic, right everyone?
It's the first of about 114 LA jokes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whereas like the first movie we're skewering horror movies, this one we're just going to skewer Hollywood on the whole. It's like Robert Altman's The Player, but with shitty, shitty actors in it.
It's The Player for people who go to horror conventions, I guess. That's the difference.
Well, yeah, you'd find Jay and Silent Bob at a horror convention in this movie. We'll get to that a little later.
We open on the Hollywood sign, and Cotton Weary is stuck in traffic, and apparently he has become, because it's 2000, like a Jenny Jones-esque talk show host.
Or a Jerry Springer-esque.
Yeah.
Or Oprah. Because he has the number one daytime syndicated talk show.
Remember when Jenny Jones facilitated a murder?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, she sure did. It's like hilarious, and then that guy killed somebody.
Yeah, boy, her face was really nice. As red as Sally Jesse Raphael's glasses. Anybody remember her? So yeah, he's a big talk show host because he's made famous after being cleared of all charges for not being a murderer.
That's
for going to jail for murder, they give him a talk show. And the talk show name, now this is genius here, 100% Cotton.
Whoa.
That's an unseemly title. If I come home and my kid's watching 100% Cotton, I'm like, what the fuck are you watching?
What is this, a Hanes commercial?
Why would it sound like that, though?
What,
100% Cotton.
It's a creepy term.
Is it?
I think so. I think it's...
You might as well call it 100% me.
Well, that's, you know, then it's a talk show all about him, yeah, but it's all cotton in your face.
Exactly. That's why it's creepy.
But it's not like, I can understand 100% cotton if it was like, here's my girlfriend, she's 100% cotton. That's creepy, but yeah. If it's like, you know, here's this bushel of towels, they're 100% cotton. There's no creativity there.
Nothing creepy about a bushel of towels.
So this dude is going home after a long day on the set of 100% cotton. They work hard. He gives 110% cotton to every episode.
but only 100% makes it to the screen. You know?
The camera adds 10%. Hey!
And he's stuck in traffic. He's, of course, arguing with an agent over a cameo in a movie.
Hollywood.
Oh, man.
I wish every 5 minutes it's Hollywood, am I right?
Oh, Holly Weird.
Yeah, it's more like Holly Weird.
There's so much Holly Weird in this movie. He gets, a terrifying call waiting.
He gets a terrifying call waiting, and this is when this is not your dad's Scream movie, all right? Because it's not the crazy Scream voice. It's a sexy lady. And he's like, oh.
Way to turn the tables.
Exactly. Like, ooh, is there a sexy lady Scream going to come out with, like, blonde hair and the mask? But no.
He gets a wrong number, and it's a sexy lady. So he's like, oh, Mara, I'm going to call you back. I got some call on the other line. And then he just flirts with this stranger.
I love the thinking here, right? Because he's, like, conducting a business deal and, you know, arguing over stuff that will make him money. And then this lady calls, this mystery lady, and he's like, Merv, I have to call you back. I might fuck this stranger who accidentally called me.
I might turn this wrong number into a sexual encounter, because all I have to do is keep this lady on the phone, and it's going to happen.
Just keep her talking until eventually I wear her down. She tells me where she lives. I go over there, and then maybe I fuck her. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thinking here.
Yeah, it's a 1-2-3 process.
But he's already dating Kelly Rutherford, we find out. Megan from Melrose Place.
Anybody?
And, no, there's never anybody.
But here's the twist. The sexy lady turns into the Scream voice.
Oh, what? That's just the 100% cop in my head.
Yeah, in terms of the Scream voice, I was going to say, oh, so let's talk about this. The voice modulators in this movie.
It's so stupid.
I think they were made by a genie. Because it's a magical device in this movie. It's not just like, click, hello, Sydney. It's all sorts of voices.
Any voice in the world.
Any voice in the world. Merv Griffin, Wes Craven, Hitler. Yeah.
Nev Campbell does not have a memorable voice. I don't know how you like go in and get a microchip that sounds like Nev Campbell.
I don't understand it. And also, as we find out, like, at the end of the movie, who this killer is, and he's, like, related to her, and whatever.
Oh, fuck! Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys.
He's, like, never physically met her.
No.
So how does he know how her voice sounds? How, like, he's just sitting there tweaking something till it's... Oh, that's a pitch too high. Like, we don't know.
Oh, no. How do I unsolder something?
Let me set my machine to David Arquette, just right there.
Maybe for Nev Campbell, they just bought, like, a box set of Party of Five, and then just, like, was watching a chapter on repeat.
There's, like, background noise in. It's like a soundboard.
Everybody wants...
Oh, don't get me started. That's one of the best theme songs of all time.
It's a good harmonica use. So, basically, it's like, hey, I'm in your house. I'm going to kill your girlfriend. Imagine I'm doing the Scream voice right now. Just everyone close your eyes. And he's... So Cotton Weary starts driving through traffic. He calls the police, but in a hilarious twist, the police have a busy signal. Right, everybody?
Weird.
That's cute. That's
Ollie
really
weird,
cute. I love
guys.
That. Yeah.
That's what happens out there.
It's like, leave your number with my agent. I'm a police officer, right?
Yeah, we'll do lunch. It wasn't busy because there was too many emergencies. It was busy because the operator was out at an audition.
Or something. Yeah.
So Nick from Melrose Place is home alone, awaiting 100% Cotton to come back in. And
she does not call him 100% Cotton. I imagine she's calling him Cotton.
Out of the bedroom or inside the bedroom?
Maybe she could call him Cot.
Cot?
Cot. Hey, Cot.
If your name is Cotton, the nickname is Cotton.
Yeah, you say Cot.
I want to be nicknamed after the laziest put together sleeping device of all time.
It's entirely possible.
I want to be nicknamed after what a about to be divorced husband sleeps on.
The only other option is Ton, and that's just like a fat joke. You don't want that.
That's one of those. You might have to say the full name. You might have to say 100%
of the name of Cotton.
So
the scream is inside the
cell. The killer, Ghostface. They call him Ghostface, I think, is the
Ghostface killer's in there.
He's in there. He's tooling around with a new album.
He's in there producing a new one, yeah.
And she just gets attacked. What do you want? This is the cold open of a shitty movie. She gets attacked thinking that it's Cotton Weary playing a joke on her, which she says something about, like, I'm sick and tired of all your Scream games. What is going on in that all of your Scream games?
Also, I don't think this guy should be playing games. This guy narrowly was... just missed the death sentence, right? Like,
the needle was, like, right here, and somebody was like, hang on a second! fucking.
Like every time they have sex, like, hey, imagine if I actually killed that woman. Just one of my scream games. Sorry, I'm just kidding around. I might have actually killed her.
Like, I feel if you want to try to play a scream game, you get one shot of the scream game, and then he or she says no scream games.
Yeah.
If this is another one of your scream games, that's at least more than three. You've tried three times at a scream game.
Hey, babe, I poisoned your food. No, I didn't. I did not do that. Eat your food.
So this girl gets murdered, and so does Cotton Weary. The Cotton finally gets gin.
Do you think?
That's great.
Do you think like big hardcore fans of this franchise were like, oh fuck, Cotton got it now. Anything's possible.
I was one of those. I like Cotton Weary.
I was disappointed too. How were you really? Couple Draculas agree. Yeah.
Two out of two Draculas agree. It's Lev Schreiber. He's the best actor in the whole goddamn franchise.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good.
Nobody's weeping Jamie Kennedy.
That's actually 100% true. Yeah, oh, interesting tidbit about this. So there's a scene where he's like, there's like a shot, he's coming down this hallway in the apartment, and then he just stops, and Liev Schreiber's his sweater off, and there's like another sweater beneath it. And I guess that was because like he'd been working out recently, and he insisted that he wear like a tight white sweater to just peck out while he was doing this I'm about to be murdered scene.
Well, yeah, you don't get to play Sabretooth without a few peck outs.
It was a 10-year plan.
Yeah.
He was really thinking far out to play Sabretooth.
Yes.
Someday I'll get that.
That's a bad Schreiber impression.
I thought that was Professor X for a second.
Moving on. So he's dead.
So like unlike the first movie, which is just like actually playing with like what you expect a horror movie to be and like, you know, sending that up in ways, this is just like, hey, let's meet up with all of our favorite characters, like Dewey and fucking Gale Weathers, who everyone thinks is a bitch at the beginning of every movie. Every movie she comes out like, oh, that bitch Gale Weathers.
It's like, because off screen, off movie, every time she does something heinous,
she just resets herself to zero. Like, every time.
Every time.
She writes another book, a tell-all about everyone's, like, you know, cowardish behavior, probably, right?
And just everyone rolls their eyes when she comes, like, fuck you, I'm not going to save you next time. Like, I didn't last that.
In this movie, I wouldn't roll my eyes, because apparently, like, she was a news reporter, right? And, like, she worked her way up to 60 Minutes 2.
Oh, yeah, RIPD, that show.
Which didn't work out. And now she's a news anchor for something called Total Entertainment.
It's like working for E! She goes from, like, hard copy reporter.
It's her and Billy Bush, right? talking about the Ghostface Killers.
Yeah, exactly. Who's reading those books, by the way? Because that's another thing. When we're introduced to her, Courtney Cox Arquette, at this point, by the way, is lecturing at some sort of journalism school, and some dude stands up and he's like, how do you account for you being a heartless snake? She's just like, well, sometimes journalism. And everyone else in this, like, it's a packed lecture hall. It's like, that fucking guy, and that's really disrespectful of Gale Weathers. I'm like, no, that guy's right. This is no one talking to you. You're paying for this shit.
It's like Lex Luthor giving a school at NYU business. You know what I mean? It's just, everyone's just like, boo! You're a villain! You, sir, are a villain!
No, but he makes money.
He does make money.
Okay.
He makes it rain.
So then we're what's going on over there?
No, I was just laughing at Steve.
And
Neve Campbell here?
Yeah, Neve Campbell.
She's more now. Sydney's working at a crisis hotline. She's, you know, all these suicidos are calling up asking for help in their lives.
Oh, all those whiny suicidos. I know how you hate them so. But it's over the phone because she doesn't leave her house because she's like shut in because she's so damaged from the past two times a bunch of people tried to kill her.
She's definitely a secret hoarder in this situation.
You only see
hoarder?
Hoarder.
Okay, continue.
Like no, I thought that was going someplace else.
Like A&E's hit show.
Uh-huh.
Because you only see two rooms, but I'm imagining, you know, if she's such a broken person, man.
Yeah. There's like a newspaper room.
Yeah, there's like a dead cat room.
Yeah, usually all it takes is like the death of one parent and or a tangential connection to 9/11. This woman's caused the death of at least 20 people at this point. So she's definitely hoarding shit. She has a problem letting things go. She's got like her Randy room with all Randy memorabilia.
How much Jamie Kennedy related memorabilia in one room? It's a quarter. You don't need a Randy room. You can have the Randy shelf in the stew room.
It's like the Rumpus room. It's like you hang out your Randy room.
The Randy room is also the garage. It's the corner of the garage by the recycling bin.
Yeah, by the litter box.
She's got it. So she's got her new life, and you know she's off the grid. The last thing Ghostface says when he kills Cotton Weary is, "Where is Sydney?" Hey, why the fuck would this guy that narrowly didn't kill her mother know where she is?
They're not keeping tabs. They're not pen pals. They're not best buds. Yeah. They're people who, for a long period of time, one hated the other one, and the other one was trying to convince her not to hate him. That's not a relationship to keep tabs on.
Hey, buddy, remember that time you almost ended my life by false identifying me? Where are you living these days?
But that's the problem with these sequels, is everyone continues to be best buds. Let me tell you this. If the three of us ever had a situation where we were narrowly almost killed by a serial killer, yeah. I'm just going to not talk to you ever again. I'm not going to like a survivor's brunch, you know. I'm going to forget when your birthday is.
Or you're going to get your big talk show. Run away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to head west and forget my troubles. Because fuck that. Why do I want to keep drumming it up?
It's gross.
Or why would I want to go to college with Jamie Kennedy? That's a bullshit thing in that second movie, not to switch movies here. But they totally pull the same by the bell.
But yeah, everyone's just going to the same college.
Scream the college years.
They're going to scream you, Billy Crystal and John Goodman in there.
I like to imagine that, like, Nev Campbell asked Jamie Kennedy where he's going. He's like, "Oh, I'm undecided." He's like, "Where are you going?" "Oh, Winslow. I'm going to Winslow too."
"Oh yeah, I'm definitely there. I got early admission, so probably before you, right?" Right. So they're filming another Stab movie. This is just
Stab 3.
You know what? If this movie was made now, it'd be Stab 3D. Just putting that out there. David Arquette in 3D.
Oh, that little, get ready. That little mustache coming out at you.
That's the mustache in the third dimension. That one sounded like drapes.
That's, by the way, that's what Gale Weathers sees in the bedroom.
Can we talk about her hair for a quick second?
I don't know what it's kind of the haircut Pony Boy gets when
Pony Boy gets that bad haircut.
Yeah, when Johnny cuts it with a switchblade. It's just like a really bad bangs.
It happens in movies every so often, and it happens to Courtney Cox in this movie when you watch it. It's a little game I like to play called "Is That a Wig?" And the way the actor one-ups you on "Is That a Wig?" is if you get to the end credits and you can't tell if it's a wig. And I don't know. It's like kind of crooked at some point. It's really bad bangs. You're right. It's like rusty switchblade bangs. Maybe they sawed it off with like a switchblade comb.
Yeah.
Just really kept working it.
Well, it's half a wig half the time because like... There were so many rewrites and redos of this movie because it was like, we don't want the ending to come on the internet, so they did like three versions of every scene.
That's gotta be obnoxious, huh? It's got a movie like that three times?
If anyone could do it, what the fuck is the point?
If anyone could do, be the killer?
Yeah, like, who cares? Because you can just have a scene at the end of the movie where it's very Scooby-Doo-ish, this movie. More so than the rest
of the movie. Oh, this is the Scooby-Doo-iest of all of them. That's for certain. So they're making a Stab movie, okay, and they're on set. And this is what doesn't make any sense. This is like the third movie. We already know from the second movie, like that starts off with the Stab premiere, that it just borrows shit from the first Scream movie, and that's like the movie. This Stab 3 is just using shit also from the first Scream movie. What is going on in these Stab movies? It just keeps going back to the same house. Like, they have it set up with the... Her, what's her face there? Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan. So it's like where she gets murdered with like the garage door in the first movie. That's still set up.
That might happen again. Who knows?
Maybe. Stab 3, the copycat.
Well, that's what they all are, right?
it's a series of copycats.
They're all guys putting on screen masks doing the same thing.
You know? Yeah, but I'll tell you what, at the end of this movie, we find out who started the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because my teeth were chattering when we were fucking figure that out.
So while we're on the movie lot here, I think we're in cameo country.
Oh, it is time for some serious cameos.
Where's your treat to Roger Corbett?
The only time in like anything like this where there's a cameo, I was like, oh my god, that's awesome!
Yeah.
It's Roger Corman!
And he's arguing like against violence in movies, kind of? He's like a studio executive that wants him to tone down because...
See, it's cute because he was schlocky and he liked violence.
Yeah, there you go.
Twist.
Yeah.
It's a real, thinking man's joke.
And Lance Henriksen with blonde hair, which I really just couldn't stop looking at.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen's playing like the Wes Craven surrogate in this movie.
Yeah, I was just about to say that he's not a cameo. He's not playing Lance Henriksen. He's playing the producer, right? And Jay and Silent Bob are on tour of the studio.
We could just do it.
Which I don't, I mean, what?
I'm not
the fuck.
I'm so, not.
This movie takes place in the viewest universe.
Which means all the other three Scream movies take place in this universe.
That means Jay and Silent Bob probably went to go see Stab in the theaters.
Probably. And they probably loved it.
It's a rich tapestry.
It's been it's like 35 minutes in, I'm not invested at all, and then two cartoon characters show up. Like, oh, now I'm really fucking scared.
They might as well be followed by, like, Bugs Bunny and two of the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
It's like they're going to Toontown. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, there's a lot.
They're on the studio a lot. Yeah, like, exactly. Where's the magic door to walk through the Toontown? The sun's singing to you.
You know,
Bob Hoskins is aggravating.
You know about Jay and Silent Bob? They work for peanuts and they're just elephants for some reason.
I'd love to see Jay and Silent Bob take a dip bath.
Roger Rabbit jokes.
No, it's weird because like then like Jason Mewes sees Courtney Cox and confuses her for Connie Chung.
That's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Oh, that's weird.
And yeah, she flips him the bird.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, she gets her revenge. Also, not like a cameo, but playing a tourist, Wes Craven, right behind them.
Are you
Hawaiian shirt, bucket hats, snapping photos?
I didn't notice that, but you know the best? In this first Scream movie, Wes Craven has a great cameo.
Oh, fuck. Freddy Krueger the janitor?
Yeah, Fred the janitor, just this nasty old bastard dressed up as Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, what is that supposed to tell you? What does that say?
It doesn't. It tells you why. I'm trying to watch a movie. Don't make me have to think about other movies. Like, keep me in your world.
And honestly, it took me out of the movie to see a janitor mopping the floor with a hat on. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're inside, janitor. How about some professionalism?
No respect.
Take off that knived glove while you're at it. There's kids around.
That hat hook isn't there for nothing.
Well, I guess he's just kind of bumming because, like, the Fonz is his boss in that movie. The Fonz as principal. Ah, damn. Thought I'd be able to pull it out.
Imbri.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I just watched all four of those movies.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, not really.
So we've got this cast of, like, actors that are playing the actors you know, which is annoying, except for one. Parker Posey is fantastic in this movie, because she's fantastic in almost everything. But that's it. Emily Mortimer is playing Nev Campbell.
She's got nothing to do in this movie.
She hides in the back of the frame in 9 out of her 10 scenes.
She, like, almost says things like, nah, forget it. Like, no, seriously, you're in the movie. What do you think?
Like, someone's like, no, I wish I could figure out who this killer was. And she's like, what? She knows.
There's a young male actor and a sassy black actor. He's real sassy. It's fun.
Yep.
Right? He's fun.
You never see that in a horror movie.
It's so bad. Like, just write a black character. Why does he have to be that?
Well, because it's supposed to be a guy who can convincingly play a character that could convincingly replace Jamie Kennedy's character. or something.
Those are big shoes to fill. Big clown shoes to fill.
Big bowling shoes. God, what an obnoxious character that is. We'll get to that. So they're making this movie, and we're introduced to the best police detective of all time, McDreamy. And this is like his comeback. Like, he reemerged from the late 80s.
This hair is so coiffed. Like, this is not a gritty police detective's haircut. There's a lot of mousse going on. There's curls.
Because it's Hollywood. Stop forgetting.
Yeah, we'll do lunch.
He likes movies, too.
Of course he's movie-obsessed, because it's a Scream movie. Someone's got to be movie-obsessed.
Well, no, it's weird, because Neve Campbell's being interviewed by him. He has one movie poster. She's like, oh, real movie buff, huh? He's like, no, I won that in a raffle. Like, I don't know. It's literally one poster.
Well, it's like an old-timey, like, Atomic Age film noir, so it means, like, he knows.
Oh, he knows the stuff.
It's a poster for Kiss Me Deadly. Great movie, by the way. But he's the movie buff, right? He grew up in Hollywood, so they're like, he explains, like, McDreamy's like, oh, listen, I get all these backlot cases because I know the business. Mel Campbell's like, I'm not sleeping.
He hits on her the entire time. She's like, please help me, there's a killer after me. He's like, yeah, what did you... How does that make you feel? And it's just like a leg. He's just got this arm going after her.
Wow, Sydney, I sure am lucky you didn't get murdered those two other times.
You are beautiful.
And he's the worst detective ever.
He's so far away from everything.
He's like, oh, I'm more of a Trace Runs Cold type of guy.
When you are out policed by David Arquette's Deputy Dewey character, who's also like physically disabled in this movie, like, you're a really bad police detective.
How is he magically not disabled in the fourth movie?
Oh, does he not have...
Yeah, he's just running around like it's all fine.
Do you think they were like halfway through filming that movie and he was like, oh, hey, Wes, remember I got stabbed in the spine and I had that limp in the last one? He's like, oh, fuck it.
you got a robot leg now. Your leg's not a robot.
It's 2012. You can have a robot leg.
You can get it on Twitter. What?
I love Wes Craven not understanding how Twitter works. Confusing me with Amazon.
Makes sense.
Free shipping on that Twitter, huh?
So, I mean, the through of this movie is people from the cast are getting murdered. Oh, and the topping everything off is our director, Roman, played by Scott Foley in his first ever movie.
Maybe his last. He does not do movies well. He's a small screen man.
He's on Scandal, I believe, is the program.
Yeah.
And we forgot to mention, Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, she gets...
Oh, yeah.
She gets copied to death with a copying machine. Right?
What? No, she gets stabbed through the back and thrown through a door.
Oh, right, okay.
Did you see one of the alternate cuts that they filmed?
No, I got bamboozled by Wes Craven.
I think we just discovered Eric fell asleep in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that was a copy machine there, right?
I was confusing with the riveting fax machine scene, which is later in the film. And that one actually happened, right?
The fax is coming from inside the house.
He's waiting, but come on.
Yeah, they're like faxing like the script. Yeah.
Oh, no, what's it going to... I want to see how it ends. I'm not leaving the house.
But it was too... It was 2000. It was already old to be faxing pages of something.
Well, not when you're inside of the house and you're trying to, you know, keep them in there for...
What about AOL chat? You know, like you get an instant message.
Guys, wait! I've got mail.
Did you hear that loud door opening noise? That means a buddy of mine signed on.
Did you hear that wolf howl? That means a killer signed on. How there might be ghosts in this movie.
There's a creature.
That's right, you heard it right.
There may be some good, like, it's like, yeah, I know all the movies take place in reality, but we do want to plant the seed that we might not be at a ghost country just yet.
Three movies in, there might be a specter review out there. So, like, Neve Campbell's having this dream, like, she lives up in hill country, she's totally off the grid, like, Kung Fu the Legend continues, like, really nowhere is the bullshit, right? Yeah. and she's taking a nap. She always takes naps in these movies.
Well, she's depressed, Andrew.
Is she depressed in that? Yeah, she is.
I was going to say that first one, but the mother just died.
She had things to be depressed about.
You know what probably doesn't help for depression? Hearing everyone else's problems.
All
operating that crisis hotline.
Unless it's like a real Schadenfreude thing. Just
she hangs up the phone like, that sucks. Glad I'm up here alone with my dog.
Only my mom got murdered.
My mom, my two boyfriends, a couple of friends, friends of friends.
Jamie Kennedy.
Omar Apps for no reason.
That's the thing. It's like, what kind of call would have to call in order for her to feel good? Right?
Yeah, that's actually true.
She would like have to be on the Holocaust survivor hotline. I'd be like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just escape this Cambodian genocide.
So she's taking this nap, right?
Having all sorts of weird dreams.
And her mom, like, you hear her mother, or what is supposed to be her mother, and like, it's just like, ooh, I'm outside your house.
Sounds like my mother. Doing her best ghost impression.
It's a they're ghostly noises, and a ghostly breeze.
Well, also, she like comes up to the window, and she's got makeup on like Gina Davis in Beetlejuice. Like that last scene when they're over the table, yeah. They're just turning to dust.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like. And then you're like, wow, that's terrifying. And then it turns into the Ghostface Killer and smashes through the window. And you're like, wow, this is intense. And then it's a dream. But the movie is clearly set up that it's like, there might be a ghost. Look at all that fog out there. A ghost could be hiding in that fog.
This brings us to, and you know who tells us there might be a ghost? Jamie Kennedy himself. He's a ghost.
He is a ghost. He died.
Famous Hollywood ghost, Jamie Kennedy.
He's haunting the Laugh Factory right now.
He's haunting that LA New Year's Eve party. Oh, isn't that just the best thing you've ever done in your time?
Watching that. That fight breaks out at the end. And here's to a new year.
Two women punch each other in the face.
He's just taking his lav mic off like, well, that was embarrassing.
Well, if that didn't kill my career, nothing will. Anyway.
Jenny McCarthy gets killed and who cares? A bunch of people get killed and who cares? And they're like, what? We have no idea how to fight this killer. And then Heather Matarazzo shows up with a VHS. And everyone's like, oh my god, it's Randy's sister, remember? And everyone's like, no, we've never seen this character before.
No, I saw two movies, spent a lot of time with you people, and not once was there a sister ever mentioned.
There are two secret siblings in this film. She's the first of them.
I just don't need it. I don't need it. You know what? Here's the deal, Heather Matarazzo. If your brother leaves an In Case I Die trilogy tape behind, mail it to the people he asked you to. Because also, how is she getting on this Hollywood backlot? She's just in a trailer like, hey guys. And they're like, they're legitimately shocked because they're right. What are you doing here?
And how did he set that up? In case Cotton Weary is murdered. Get this to Sydney.
Like, wait for the signs. First, a big-chested bear of a talk show host will get killed.
And then an old specter might show up in a dream.
So, not only was Jamie Kennedy prescient enough to realize that this might be a trilogy, his sister was looking out for the signs of a trilogy for the last 3 years, finally found the trilogy which she was looking for, and brought the tape at that exact time.
Let me tell you something. If one of my siblings ever came to me and was like, listen, there's this tape. It's an In Case I Die tape. It's an In Case I Die tape that's going to explain to all of my friends that they're inside a trilogy. I need you to give it to them in the event of my death.
Yeah, I'll explain it to a garbage can.
Slash, I'm probably going to call someone.
Yeah.
I don't know, I mean, you know, the nut house, maybe not. Maybe I'll just be like, you know what? I think you need to talk to mom and dad about something. Because that's really morbid shit.
I think you need to change school. Stop following this fucking lightning rod of death around that's Sydney, alright?
Yeah, you know what? You didn't need to jump right to the 4-year college.
Yeah.
2 years in community college,
yeah.
Away from that black cloud of death. Let her get a couple years ahead of you. Maybe she'll transfer. Then you can go to that college. But stop following her around, Linus. Fucking embarrassing. The Jamie Kennedy.
So the rules of In Case, he's like, hey guys, I kind of figured I'd be I might get killed right now. I'm not, by the way, I'm not heading for the hills. I want to make this tape.
Well, you know, he's a dedicated friend.
Yeah, sure. He's like, I want to make sure that I'm going to give you rules that don't come in handy at all. The rules, by the way, in these movies never come in handy.
Well, they kind of made sense in the first one because it's like as base as you can get. But then by this movie, it's like,
all right, so rule number 5 is if you're crossing the street and there's a black dog and then you look and there's a school bus, that might mean that at some point in August, a killer's going to be thinking about drumming up a plan to... That's a rule.
That's definitely a rule. And he's also like, yeah, by the way, all bets are off. It could be supernatural, everybody. And I'm like, really? We're really going down this road?
It's also like, oh, and Sydney, you know, you might die because it's a trilogy now. They're ending the trilogy. But that's not going to happen.
No, that's definitely not going to happen. But also the best part about this, though, like watching this on the TV, he's like doing a bit where he's yelling with his college roommate and wants to get in the room and everything. And he's like, just a second, I'm making in case I die video. And Courtney Cox is taking notes. Okay, might be supernatural. What's that?
She's a writer, Andrew. Okay, she's taking notes. That's what writers do.
All right. I mean, it just seems to me like he's giving them useless advice in the first place.
It's not really filmic advice either. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's supernatural.
If someone tells me it might be supernatural, I'm just going to turn the tape off. So I've done this twice before. I know it's not supernatural.
But then Sid goes on a movie set, and she keeps hearing her mother's voice, and there's more ghostly noises, because the old man who is trying to drum up the real estate, I guess, dressed up as her dead mother, like, it's so Scooby-Doo at this point.
Trying to drum up the real estate to sell that abandoned amusement park off.
That's right.
Can we mention about how it's revealed that her mother used to work in Hollywood? Probably an adult feature, I'm guessing.
Well, because that's the other thing that this movie makes you want to care about, is a character who was never a character in the first place. It's this mother who's seen only in news footage and paper clippings in the first two movies is now, like, front and center.
They find, like, this photo of this actress that with a different name that is the mother, and right. It's like, oh, that's from this lot. So they go and visit Carrie Fisher, who is not Carrie Fisher, who is a clone of Carrie Fisher.
This is so...
She's an actress that looks exactly like Carrie Fisher, played by Carrie Fisher, complaining about how she didn't get cast in Star Wars because she wouldn't have sex with George Lucas.
Who can enjoy that joke? Like, who can sit there and enjoy whatever that joke is supposed to be?
I think even the biggest Star Wars fan that saw this movie was just like, I don't want to be laughing.
But that's where he got the idea for Attack of the Clones, right? Because he found two identical women.
When they fought each other?
They're going to fight over me. And the one who sleeps with me gets to be the princess.
The other one gets to be a clerk in a back lot of a studio somewhere. I'll see to that.
Let the games begin.
He'll never leave that basement.
Yeah, this whole movie is kind of a Roman Polanski allegory because it's all about... How Sydney's mother, something terrible happened to her once at this director's house.
Oh, it was Jack Nicholson's house.
Yeah. But, you know, come on.
It's just really gross because, like, it's so unspeakable even Lance Hendrickson can't talk about it. He's just like, I can't. It was. Wow.
I mean, what happened to her was horrible. And then he does the whole, like, but she brought it up.
Yeah.
Totally washes Lance Hendrickson hands.
Here's what's fucked up, though. And this is why it's, like, sometimes bad to see too many movies. So they're talking about this, and I'm like...
Wait, Andrew, do you think you've seen one too many movies?
I might have seen too many movies. This is why, right? So I was like, oh, yeah. And then a few scenes from now, they're going to, like, drum up a bunch of orgy photos. Yeah. That's going to be fucked up. And then I was like, no, that's Joan Allen, the Contender.
Never mind, there's no orgy photos in this movie. Fast forward.
No, it's just this vague, horrific event that just ruined everyone's life that it touched.
I think they, like, killed a baby.
It was a devil sacrifice.
It was like a snuff film.
Yes!
Like, where the mother was, like, the murderer. Like, she got down and then murdered the baby.
Oh my god!
That was unspeakable.
Totally weird. All bets are off.
That is off.
And by the way, at some point during this, when everyone's doing this little kid investigation, they're ready. We check back in on the police, who legitimately are just sitting around eating pizza. There's a scene of the police eating pizza.
Yeah, they're eating pizza.
Patrick Dempsey doesn't like to leave that office. He's
well, when you got a cool Kiss Me Deadly poster and pizza everywhere, I don't leave either.
You got a sexy fox on your couch?
Yeah, Jeff Campbell comes to you? Fuck that. I'll let the news reporter and the actress playing the news reporter figure it all out. That's actually where Parker Posey shines in this movie, is like imitating what she believes to be like airheaded Gail Weathers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. She's so great.
She's good at her job.
You know what like slasher movies like this don't need, like as a method of killing off one of the characters? A huge house explosion.
Oh, yeah, this is the fax machine scene.
This isn't the fax machine scene. So they cancel the movie. They're like, listen, Jenny McCarthy's dead. That black guy vanished.
Nobody knows.
Patrick Warburton got stabbed.
Oh, yeah, he's the bodyguard.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The weird thing about this movie, it's very New Nightmare, where, like, the movie
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare, yeah, where the movie wraps, and they're like, the movie's canceled, it sucks, and everyone still keeps hanging out together. Like, everyone's going to everybody's house and hanging out, like, sucks about that movie. Hey, you want to watch a movie? Like, no, these are actors. They're
I mean, it's maybe some of them are friends, but they're not all best friends.
This is best
friends. Especially if you didn't finish the movie, because then you don't, like, come together and really bend through something.
Yeah.
This is just like, hey, that girl we all hate got killed, and that dude whose name I didn't know vanished. Alright, you wanna get a pizza?
Wanna hang out?
And get a pizza at the police station.
Police station pizzeria is delicious.
That's a winning idea for a television show.
That's a little LA secret. The only good pizza is in the police station.
Only in Hollywood.
Regional.
So our movie got canceled party, and we keep getting these faxes that quite possibly Ghostface is in the house, because there's a bunch of different versions of the script, and nobody knows who's next because we're going through the versions of the script.
It's probably the actual script, right? Because he's filmed so many of them. This is probably a candid moment.
Oh, it's a meta joke.
I'm going to steal a shot of them trying to figure out what's happening in this movie.
Gonna film them all looking so confused. You did it again, you little genius.
So everyone's like, oh my god, the killer's in the house, let's run out of the house. But the one actor is like, no, I'll learn if I keep looking at these faxes.
And what this does is, speaking of New Nightmare, it's that same bullshit thing where it's a magical script that's reread what just happened to you.
Yeah.
So he's pulling it out, and he's like, mustachioed actor pulls this page out of the fax machine. What? I just did that.
He's like, I can't see. Let me just get this rickety lighter. And it's like, uh-oh, there's a gas leak. And it explodes. And it's fantastic. It's a good explosion.
It's a nuclear bomb. I have never seen this big of an explosion before.
Yeah, this is not a gas-related explosion. This is like, holy shit, we wanted the block to go up explosion.
It like hits the San Andreas Fault and the big one starts. That's how big this is.
It's so big, it would cause the big one. Big enough for the big one? The Eric sister story.
Is that when I fall down in Los Angeles and the world ends?
Yep. So they all fall down a hill, because that's what the explosion does to everybody. And Emily Mortimer's almost killed. Putty's dead at this point.
Yeah, Putty's Warburton. He just gets stabbed up, like, by Scott Foley, I guess. By the way, spoiler alert, Scott Foley doing it the whole time. I guess you can overpower Patrick Warburton in this universe. Like, how?
Yeah, right, dude.
The weird thing about all the Scream movies is everyone get a good punch on Ghostface, but then they keep running. Like, if I get him down, ground and pound, and he's going to drop that knife.
No, you know what, though? He may or may not be supernaturally
In this one, he might be a ghost. You're right. He'll actually be a ghost face.
A ghost face. You know what one of the most terrifying moments of this movie is? So, like, Nev Campbell's on the set, and she's like, wow, this looks like my friend's house, but he's dead, and this is weird. And she's walking around, and she walks into a bedroom, and the scariest thing you ever see in the movie, hanging on the wall, is a Creed poster. And they're just all, like, shirtless, just in this fucking poster. Greed is all over this soundtrack for some reason.
It's probably because they reconstructed her own bedroom but put a Creed poster in there. I'd fucking sue. Like, if you painstakingly remake my own bedroom but the only detail you deem to change is put a Creed poster in there, fuck you.
By the way,
Sydney, it sells soundtracks.
I was so mesmerized by that Creed poster. I looked up the Scream 3 soundtrack. Track 1, Creed. Track 2, Slipknot. Okay.
Orgy is on there. It's a real time capsule of how bad music was in the 2000s.
Oh, it is the year 2000, the motion picture soundtrack. That is for sure.
There's Static X is hanging out. Everybody remember Static X, yeah. Right?
Is there a Stained?
There is a Stained on there.
There's what's that song there? Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Oh, I don't think we're up to that yet.
No, I just pretty sure
was that in this?
I think so.
Was I asleep?
Yeah, it played during that copy machine scene.
That's when the big one was taking a nap.
Scream 3, Haunted Copy Machine. So, yeah, the ghost of her mother, like, basically, Ghostface gets under a sheet and literally starts going, whoa! And she gets really scared.
Like, the guy walks through the doorway with, like, a bloody body bag on, and the movie totally plays it like, here's a ghost! I was like, no, it's clearly just not ever going to be a ghost. And that, stop ghost trapping me.
And that voice box you got straight from Jafar somehow has a button on it that can make it sound like somebody's dead mother. Like, how? Where are you? I can understand maybe.
The ghost has to be real! You captured the ghost into the machine!
Oh my god! That's totally possible.
I think so.
It's maybe a little bit possible. It's a Wes Craven movie. It's the third one. I think that can happen.
So there's a bunch of Scooby-Dooing around, and then we wind up in the Scooby-Dooiest location. They're throwing a birthday party for the director, Scott Foley, because the movie's been canceled, and only the actors are going to go to his birthday party?
Only the actors will go to this birthday party, and I seriously think the sign on the door to this house just says, Lance Henriksen's Orgy Lair. Because if you ever want to get a good look at an orgy lair, it is this house.
There are so many candelabras.
Candelabras, a whole lot of mahogany.
And nothing but secret passages. Remember the first movie where it was like, ooh, this is suburbia gone mad? This movie has ghosts and secret passages.
If Vincent Price was still alive when this movie was made, like, he would have come out of one and been like, wrong door.
Just closed it.
This is unrealistic even for me. It's away.
Ooh, what a bunch of bullshit.
Just closes it.
Yeah, we're all these, everyone's being systematically killed, so let's all go into a big creepy house to celebrate a guy I barely know's birthday.
Hey, free cake, man.
True story.
People will do for a free Lance Henriksen purchase cake. They have several scenes in this movie where they just talk about his non-stop parties.
Yep.
And it's a lot of, like, Lance Henriksen getting questioned, like, you fucked her, didn't you? You know what's going on? He's like, listen,
there's a whole lot of mistakes that were made in the 1970s. That's one of them.
And it's super confirmed that this is like an orgy lair because Parker Posey gets killed in a mirror room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A whole lot of double-sided mirrors. Yeah. Mirror-looking pleasure.
Yeah, two-way mirror into a bedroom like the film Absolute Power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody saw that movie, huh?
Nope.
Good night, everybody.
They just start getting picked up. One of the hilarious things is, I legitimately watching this movie was like, they seriously just forgot about that black dude.
Yep.
Like, he just vanishes after that first scene where he's like, man, I hate playing the black guy. And then they're like, oh, you hate it, huh? Yeah. And then he's at this birthday party, and I feel like the other characters in this movie were like, they invited him. He already left before it was canceled.
Good on this guy, because he showed up to act. He didn't show up to go on your goddamn Scooby-Doo caper.
But he gets the Scooby-Dooiest death of all, though.
And that's the price of not playing the role, right?
He's like, stabbed, and he's, like, running through the hall with a gut wound. And he's running on this, like, gorgeous, like, you know, long carpet runner. And the fucking killer is just like, yoinks the rug out from under him. And he does, like, a triple lifting and breaks his neck.
But Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy-Doo were able to run in place fast enough to be okay in this scene.
Yeah, it worked out for them, thankfully.
I'll challenge you. I think the Scooby-Dooiest death you could ever have is being stabbed in the back by Jonathan Winters, and then the Harlem Globetrotters fuck you to death. That would be the end of it. That would be... It's pretty damn Scooby-Doo.
That is a Scooby-Doo way to go. If there ever was one. Batman and Robin just watched. We're not getting involved in this, Batman. No, we're not.
Phyllis Diller's knocking on the door trying to come in. They're like, no, don't bother. Don't let Phyllis Diller in here.
Keep her outside with Jim Neighbors and the rest of his cameos that cartoon had for no reason.
Delicious.
Dillericious? Nope. Let's keep going.
So, I mean,
leave that joke in the dust.
For some reason, Ghostface, instead of killing Courtney Cox and David Arquette, ties them up like a Scooby-Doo, like a Scooby-Doo would.
I'm going to tie you up like a Scooby-Doo.
Oh my god, he's deranged.
Keeps calling everything Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Dad. And... He calls up Nev Campbell and he's like, you know, I'm gonna kill your only two friends if you don't come, you know, to certain death, essentially.
And she's like, I'm just about to finish the pizza.
I don't know if you've ever had it, murderer, but it is delish. Can you hold on a minute?
And I still think I hate Gale Weathers. I don't know. I think I do. Yeah, goodbye.
Like, you know what? Yeah, if you have to go back and forth so many times on whether or not you hate somebody, just let it die. Just fuck it. Yeah, one less person in your life.
She runs to the rescue, and this is the beginning of Patrick Dempsey's major contribution to the movie, which is keep getting knocked out. Like, every time he comes in, he's like, I got it! And somebody hits him in the back of the head.
His head is like raw meat at the end of it. Face is hamburger. He's been shot a couple times.
And about this time, Lance Henriksen is executed, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They just cut his throat.
At least throw him onto his goddamn shag carpet and let him bleed out.
Bleed out under all those stains that are presumably still there. All those 1970s stains.
Yeah, that's no wine.
Lance Henriksen's leftovers.
That's disgusting. So it's her brother. It's her half brother. It's this fucking thing.
Who's a film director who decided to direct this movie of his own half sister's
murder spree.
Something. What we're explaining here, what I was saying before, is why Scott Foley is responsible for the whole thing. As we find out, we were so curious in the first place. That he went to the town and was like, hey, you're my mom. And she was like, your mother's dead. I'm a different person now. And slams the door in his face. And he cries about it. So he films the mother, like, cheating on the father. And that's what, like, sets the dudes off from the first movie. So it's like, he's, like, claiming responsibility for this whole thing. Who cares? Why are you undoing all the shit that you set up in that movie? I hate when that happens. It's just this, like, you know what? We had this totally great thing, but in this movie, negated. Fuck it.
Well, apparently he sat them down and he was the mastermind. He negotiated the whole thing. Like, who gives a shit? I'm sorry.
This dude is like he's about to celebrate his 30th birthday or something like that. So, like, this, like, college-age kid comes up to, like, some high school kids, like,
hey, you want to see a tape or something?
Hey, you want to kill my mom?
It's just this weird, like, Dexter thing of, like, I'm going to teach you how to use your rage or whatever.
The knife goes in the body. All right, good luck.
Done. Yeah, I'm gonna mastermind this whole serial killing spree. Oh no, I'm gonna be far away. You're
going to do it. Yeah, I'm gonna be far away.
I'm gonna be making motion pictures in Hollywood.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, at the end of that first movie, when the two of them are there and the jig is up, I'd be like, by the way, there's this other dude that came in here and was, like, training us. And he kept asking us if we were obsessed with movies. He said it wasn't necessary but would help our chances of getting hired. It just doesn't make any sense, you guys. It's so dumb.
Do you think he's the guy that calls Aunt Jackie to be part of Scream 2?
Oh, yeah, you know, that might be.
Laurie Metcalf.
That's some superhero shit in that movie. There's no way she's lifting Jamie Kennedy off the ground to pull her into that van. And Jackie's not that strong.
Yeah, Roseanne's put upon younger sister is not fucking bench pressing Jamie Kennedy.
I'd watch it.
Tim the Oliphant was in that one too, right?
He was.
Yeah, he was Mickey. They don't need to remember that, but I do.
So, Neve Campbell pretty much kills Scott Foley in cold blood, like...
Oh, yes.
Well, right. She shoots him, like, 5 times in the chest, right? And guess what? Doesn't work.
He's got a bulletproof vest on.
But he's disarmed, and he's like, oh, my God, all right, let the police take him. She's like, no, I'm going to stab you in the heart for it.
Yeah, like, he's unarmed. Yeah. She's, like, got him pinned. It's over. And yeah. She's like, you know... Dunzo, right through the heart, presumably, but then he somehow gets back out.
They always come up, and the best thing you want to do is, if you're surrounded by people with guns, is charge at them with a pair of scissors. Because that's going to end really well.
So she yells at what Dewey did to, could you shoot my brother in his head, please?
Could you just shoot him in the head so this movie can get over with?
This is 2 hours, this film.
It is a 2-hour sequel.
And I think about, like, 90 minutes and we find out who the killer is, and the rest of it is this end scene.
It's just running around Lance Henriks' porno house. It's all
less fun than you might think.
More fun if they added, like, the Benny Hill theme song and they kept running through the secret passages. And, like, a mummy came out.
Better movie.
Totally a better movie. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No, I think it's... It's somehow the worst of the Scream movies. And I think the Scream trilogy is somehow worse than the Matrix trilogy. Like, honestly, the Matrix trilogy, at least it's trying stuff. You know, it makes up a whole bunch of garbage every time. But this movie's like, hey, remember this, the last one? Let's just do that again, guys. It was a lot of fun. Let's try it again.
Well, that's generally what a sequel does.
Yeah.
I guess I would agree with that. I mean, at least the Matrix sequels, as terrible as they are, there's visually new, different things happening.
Yeah, different characters.
But, I mean, Scream movies, man. So no, I'm not recommending it.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it either. And I'd say, though, here's why I think you got a point about those Matrix sequels being better. It's 3 words. No Jamie Kennedy. Jamie Kennedy, as far as I know, is not in any of those Matrix movies.
Wait, I think Aunt Jackie's not in the Matrix movies either.
Oh, and that is Scream 3 from the year 2000. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Check us out at www.podcast.com. See you next time.